Snapping has always been the dark side of allomancy. A person's genetic endowment may make them a potential allomancer, but in order for the power to manifest, the body must be put through extraordinary trauma. Though Elend spoke of how terrible his beating was, during our day, unlocking allomancy in a person was easier than it had once been, for we had the infusion of preservation's power into the human bloodlines via the nuggets granted to nobility by the Lord Ruler. When preservation set up the mists, he was afraid of ruin escaping his prison. In those early days, before the ascension, the mists began to snap people as they did during our time. But this action of the mists was one of the only ways to awaken allomancy in a person, for the genetic attributes were buried too deeply to be brought out by a simple beating. The mists of that day created mistings only, of course. There were no mistborn until the Lord Ruler made use of the nuggets. The people misinterpreted the mists' intent, as the process of snapping allomancers caused some, particularly the old and the young, to die. This hadn't been preservation's desire, but he'd given up most of his consciousness to form Ruin's prison, and the mists had to be left to work as best they could without specific direction. Ruin, subtle as ever, knew that he couldn't stop the mists from doing their work. However, he could do the unexpected and encourage them. And so he helped make them stronger. That brought death to the plants of the world, and created the threat that became known as the Deepness. 81. Vin turned toward Ruin, projecting a smile. The cloud of twisting black mist seemed agitated.
"So you can influence a single minion," Ruin snapped, turning upon itself, rising in the air.
Vin followed, streaking up to loom over the entire central dominance. Below, she could see Demu's soldiers rushing to the camp, waking the people, organizing them to flight. Already some of them were making their way along the tracks in the ash toward the safety of the caverns. She could feel the sun, and knew that the planet was far too near it to be safe. Yet she could do nothing more. Not only would Ruin have stopped her, but she didn't understand her power yet. She felt as the Lord Ruler must have, almighty yet clumsy. If she tried to move the world, she would only make things worse. But she had accomplished something. Ruin had his Kolos pounding toward them at breakneck speed, but they still wouldn't arrive at the pits for several hours. Plenty of time to get the people to the caverns. Ruin must have noticed what she was studying, or perhaps he sensed her smugness.
"You think you've won?" he asked, sounding amused. "Why, because you managed to stop a few Khandra? They were always the weakest of the minions the Lord Ruler created for me. I have made a habit of ignoring them. Either way, Vin, you cannot really think that you have beaten me."
Vin waited, watching as the people fled to the relative safety of the caverns. Even as the bulk of them arrived, soldiers separating them into groups, sending them to the different entrances, her good humor began to fade. She had managed to get through to Elend, and while it had seemed like a great victory at the moment, she could now see that it was little more than another stalling tactic.
"Have you counted the Kolos in my army, Vin?" Ruin asked. "I've made them from your people, you know. I've gathered hundreds of thousands."
Vin focused, enumerating instantly. He was telling the truth.
"This is the force I could have thrown at you at any time," Ruin said. "Most of them kept to the outer dominances, but I've been bringing them in, marching them toward Luthadel. How many times must I tell you, Vin, you can't win? You could never win. I've just been playing with you."
Vin pulled back, ignoring his lies. He hadn't been playing with them. He'd been trying to discover the secrets that preservation had left, the secret that the Lord Ruler had kept. Still, the numbers Ruin had finally managed to marshal were awe-inspiring.
There were far more Kolos than there were people climbing into the caverns. With a force like that, Ruin could assault even a well-fortified position. And by Vin's count, Elend had fewer than 1,000 men with any battle training. On top of that, there was the sun and its destructive heat, the death of the world's crops, the tainting of water and land with several feet of ash. Even the lava flows, which she had stopped, were beginning again, her plugging of the ash mounds having provided only a temporary solution. A bad one, even. Now that the mountains couldn't erupt, great cracks were appearing in the land, and the magma, the earth's burning blood, was boiling out that way.
"We're just so far behind," Vin thought. "Ruin had centuries to plan this. Even when we thought we were being clever, we fell for his plots. What good is it to sequester my people beneath the ground if they're just going to starve?"
She turned toward Ruin, who sat billowing and shifting upon himself, watching his Kolos army. She felt a hatred that seemed incompatible with the power she held. The hatred made her sick, but she didn't let go of it. This thing before her, it would destroy everything she knew, everything she loved. It couldn't understand love. It built only so that it could destroy. At that moment, she reversed her earlier decision. She'd never again call Ruin a him. Humanizing the creature gave it too much respect. Seething, watching, she didn't know what else to do. So she attacked. She wasn't even certain how she did it. She threw herself at Ruin, forcing her power up against its power. There was friction between them, a clash of energy, and it tormented her divine body. Ruin cried out and, mixing with Ruin, she knew its mind. Ruin was surprised. It didn't expect preservation to be able to attack. Vin's move smacked too much of destruction. Ruin didn't know how to respond, but it threw its power back against her in a protective reflex. Their selves crashed, threatening to dissolve. Finally, Vin pulled back, lacerated, rebuffed. Their power was too well matched. Opposite, yet similar. Like allomancy.
"Opposition," Ruin whispered. "Balance. You'll learn to hate it, I suspect, though preservation never could."
"So this is the body of a god?" Elend asked, rolling the bead of Atium around in his palm. He held it up next to the one that Yeoman had given him.
"Indeed, Your Majesty," Sazed said. The Terraceman looked eager. Didn't he understand how dangerous their situation was?
Demu's scouts, the ones that had returned, reported that the Kolos were only minutes away. Elend had ordered his troops posted at the doorways to the homeland, but his hope that the Kolos wouldn't know where to find his people was a slim one, considering what Sazed had told him about Ruin.
"Ruin can't help but come for it," Sazed explained.
They stood in the metal-lined cavern called the Trust Warren, the place where the Chondra had spent the last 1,000 years gathering and guarding the Atium.
"This Atium is part of him. It's what he's been searching for all this time."
"Which means we'll have a couple 100,000 Kolos trying to climb down our throats, Sazed," Elend said, handing back the bead of Atium. "I say we give it to him."
Sazed paled.
"Give it to him? Your Majesty, my apologies, but that would mean the end of the world. Instantly. I am certain of it."
"Great," Elend thought.
"It will be all right, Elend," Sazed said.
Elend frowned up at the Terraceman, who stood peacefully in his robes.
"Vin will come," Sazed explained. "She is the hero of ages. She will arrive to save this people. Don't you see how perfect this all is? It's arranged, planned. That you would come here, find me at this exact moment? That you'd be able to lead the people to safety in these caverns? Well, it all fits together. She'll come."
Interesting time for him to get his faith back, Elend thought.
He rolled Yeoman's bead between his fingers, thinking. Outside the room, he could hear whispers. People, terrace stewards, Ska leaders, even a few soldiers, stood listening. Elland could hear the anxiety in their voices. They had heard of the approaching army. As Elland watched, Damu carefully pushed his way through them and entered the room.
"Soldiers posted, my lord," the general said.
"How many do we have?" Elland asked. Damu looked grim.
"The 280 I brought with me," he said, "plus about 500 from the city, another 100 ordinary citizens that we armed with those Chandra hammers, and spare weapons from our soldiers. And we have 4 different entrances to this cavern complex we need to guard."
Elland closed his eyes.
"She'll come," Sazed said.
"My lord," Damu said, pulling Elland aside. "This is bad."
"I know," Elland said, exhaling softly. "Did you give the men medals?"
"What we could find," Damu said quietly. "The people didn't think to bring powdered metal with them when they fled Lúthadel. We found a couple of noblemen who were allomancers, but they were only copper clouds or seekers."
Elland nodded. He'd bribed or pressed the useful nobleman allomancers into his army already.
"We gave those metals to my soldiers," Damu said, "but none of them could burn them. Even if we had allomancers, we cannot hold this location, my lord. Not with so few soldiers, not against that many Kolos. We'll delay them at first, because of the narrow entrances. But, well..."
"I realize that, Damu," Elland said with frustration. "But do you have any other options?" Damu was silent.
"I was hoping you'd have some, my lord."
"None here," Elland said. Damu grew grim.
"Then we die."
"What about faith, Damu?" Elland asked.
"I believe in the survivor, my lord, but... well, this looks pretty bad. I've felt like a man waiting his turn before the headsman ever since we spotted those Kolos. Maybe the survivor doesn't want us to succeed here. Sometimes people just have to die."
Elland turned away, frustrated, clenching and unclenching his fist around the bead of Atium. It was the same problem, the same trouble he always had. He'd failed back during the siege of Lúthadel. It had taken Vin to protect the city. He'd failed in Fadrix City. Only the Kolos getting distracted had rescued him there. A ruler's most basic duty was to protect his people. In this one area, Elland continually felt impotent. Useless.
"Why can't I do it?" Elland thought with frustration. "I spend a year searching out storage caverns to provide food, only to end up trapped with my people starving. I search all that time looking for the Atium, hoping to use it to buy safety for my people, and then I find it too late to spend it on anything. Too late."
He paused, glancing back toward the metal plate in the floor.
"Years searching for... Atium."
None of the medals Damu had given his soldiers had worked. Elland had been working under the assumption that Damu's group would be like the other Mistfallen back in Urto, that they'd be composed of all kinds of mistings. Yet there had been something different about Damu's group. They had fallen sick for far longer than the others. Elland pushed forward, rushing past Sazed, grabbing a handful of beads. A vast wealth, unlike anything any man had ever possessed. Valuable for its rarity. Valuable for its economic power. Valuable for its allomancy.
"Damu," he snapped, rising and tossing the bead to him. "Eat this."
Damu frowned.
"My lord?"
"Eat it,"
Elland said. Damu did as asked. He stood for a moment.
280 men, Elland thought. Sent away from my army because of all the ones who fell sick, they were the most sick. 16 days. 280 men, 1/16 of those who fell sick. 1 out of 16 allomantic metals.
Yeoman had proved that there was such a thing as an Atium misting. If Elland hadn't been so distracted, he would have made the connection earlier. If 1 out of 16 who fell sick remained that way the longest,
Would that not imply that they'd gained the most powerful of the 16 abilities?
Demu looked up, eyes widening, and Elend smiled.
Vin hovered outside the cavern, watching with dread as the Koloss approached. They were already in a blood frenzy. Ruin had that much control over them. There were thousands upon thousands of them. The slaughter was about to begin.
Vin cried out as they drew closer, throwing herself against Ruin again, trying to drive her power to destroy the thing. As before, she was rebuffed. She felt herself screaming, trembling as she thought about the impending deaths below. It would be like the tsunami deaths on the coast, only worse. For these were people she knew, people she loved. She turned back toward the entrance. She didn't want to watch, but she wouldn't be able to do anything else. Herself was everywhere. Even if she pulled her nexus away, she knew that she'd still feel the deaths, that they would make her tremble and weep. From within the cavern, echoing, she sensed a familiar voice.
"Today, men, I ask of you your lives."
Vin hovered down, listening, though she couldn't see into the cavern because of the metals in the rock. She could hear, however. If she'd had eyes, she would have been crying, she knew.
"I ask of you your lives," Elend said, voice echoing, "and your courage. I ask of you your faith and your honor, your strength and your compassion. For today I lead you to die. I will not ask you to welcome this event. I will not insult you by calling it well or just or even glorious. But I will say this. Each moment you fight is a gift to those in this cavern. Each second we fight is a second longer that thousands of people can draw breath. Each stroke of the sword, each Koloss felled, each breath earned is a victory. It is a person protected for a moment longer, a life extended, an enemy frustrated."
There was a brief pause.
"In the end, they will kill us,"
Elend said, voice loud, ringing in the cavern.
"But first, they shall fear us."
The men yelled at this, and Vin's enhanced mind could pick out around 250 distinct voices. She heard them split, rushing toward the different cavern entrances. A moment later, someone appeared from the front entrance near her. A figure in white slowly stepped out into the ash, brilliant white cape fluttering. He held a sword in one hand.
"Elend," she tried to cry at him. "No, go back. Charging them is madness. You'll be killed."
Elend stood tall, watching the waves of Koloss as they approached, trampling down the black ash, an endless sea of death with blue skin and red eyes. Many carried swords, the others just bore rocks and lengths of wood. Elend was a tiny white speck before them, a single dot on an endless canvas of blue. He raised his sword high and charged.
"Elend!"
Suddenly Elend burst with a brilliant energy, so bright that Vin gasped. He met the first Koloss head-on, ducking beneath the swinging sword and decapitating the creature in one stroke. Then, instead of jumping away, he spun to the side, swinging. Another Koloss fell. Three swords flashed around him, but all missed by just a breath. Elend ducked to the side, taking a Koloss in the stomach, then whipped his sword around, his head barely passing beneath another swing, and took off a Koloss arm. He still didn't push himself away. Vin froze, watching as he took down one Koloss, then beheaded another in a single, fluid stroke. Elend moved with a grace she had never seen from him. She had always been the better warrior, yet at this moment he put her to shame. He wove between Koloss blades as if he were taking part in a pre-rehearsed stage fight, body after body falling before his gliding blade. A group of soldiers in Elend's colors burst from the cavern entrance, charging. Like a wave of light, their forms exploded with power. They, too, moved into the Koloss ranks, striking with incredible precision. Not a single one of them fell as Vin watched. They fought with miraculous skill and fortune, each Koloss blade falling just a little too late. Blue corpses began to pile up around the glowing force of men. Somehow, Elend had found an entire army who could burn Atium. Elend was a god. He'd never burned Atium before, and his first experience with the metal filled him with wonder. The Koloss around him all emitted Atium shadows, images that moved before they did, showing Elend exactly what they would do. He could see into the future, if only a few seconds. In a battle, that was just what one needed. He could feel the Atium enhancing his mind, making him capable of reading and using all of the new information. He didn't even have to pause and think. His arms moved of their own volition, swinging his sword with awesome precision. He spun amid a cloud of phantom images, striking at flesh, feeling almost as if he were in the mists again. No Koloss could stand against him. He felt energized. He felt amazing. For a time, he was invincible. He'd swallowed so many Atium beads he felt as if he'd throw up. For its entire history, Atium had been a thing that men had needed to save and hoard. Burning it had seemed such a shame that it had been used only sparingly, only in instances of great need. Elend didn't need to worry about any of that. He just burned as much as he wanted, and it made him into a disaster for the Koloss, a whirlwind of exact strikes and impossible dodges, always a few steps ahead of his opponents. Foe after foe fell before him, and when he began to get low on Atium, he pushed himself off a fallen sword back to the entrance. There, with plenty of water to wash it down, Sazed waited with another bag of Atium. Elend downed the beads quickly, then returned to the battle. Ruin raged and spun, trying to stop the slaughter. Yet this time Vin was the force of balance. She blocked Ruin's every attempt to destroy Elend and the others, keeping it contained. "I can't decide if you're a fool," Vin thought toward it, "or if you simply exist in a way that makes you incapable of considering some things." Ruin screamed, buffeting against her, trying to destroy her as she had tried to destroy it. However, once again their powers were too evenly matched. Ruin was forced to pull back. "Life," Vin said. "You said that the only reason to create something was so that you could destroy it." She hovered beside Elend, watching him fight. The deaths of the Koloss should have pained her. Yet she did not think of the death. Perhaps it was the influence of preservation's power, but she saw only a man, struggling, fighting, even when hope seemed impossible. She didn't see death. She saw life. She saw faith. "We create things to watch them grow, Ruin," she said. "To take pleasure in seeing that which we love become more than it was before. You said that you were invincible, that all things break apart. All things are ruined, but there are things that fight against you. And the ironic part is, you can't even understand those things. Love, life, growth. The life of a person is more than the chaos of its passing. Emotion, Ruin. This is your defeat." Sazed watched anxiously from the mouth of the cavern. A small group of men huddled around him. Garv, leader of the Church of the Survivor in Luthadel. Harathdal, foremost of the Terrace stewards. Lord Dedri Vasting, one of the surviving assembly members from the city government. Asladin, the young woman whom Demu had apparently come to love during his few short weeks at the pits of Hathsin. A smattering of others, important or faithful enough, to get near the front of the crowd and watch. "Where is she, Master Terrasman?" Garv asked.
"She'll come," Sazed promised, hand resting on the rock wall.
The men fell quiet. Soldiers, those without the blessing of Atium, waited nervously with them, knowing they were next in line, should Ellen's assault fail.
"She has to come," Sazed thought. "Everything points toward her arrival."
"The hero will come," he repeated.
Elend sheared through two heads at once, dropping the Koloss. He spun his blade, taking off an arm, then stabbed another Koloss through the neck. He hadn't seen that one approaching, but his mind had seen and interpreted the Atium shadow before the real attack came.
Already he stood atop a carpet of blue corpses. He did not stumble. With Atium, his every step was exact, his blade guided, his mind crisp. He took down a particularly large coloss, then stepped back, pausing briefly. The sun crested the horizon in the east. It started to grow hotter. They had been fighting for hours, yet the army of Koloss still seemed endless. Elend slew another Koloss, but his motions were beginning to feel sluggish. Atium enhanced the mind, but it did not boost the body, and he'd started to rely on his pewter to keep him going. Who would have known that one could get tired, exhausted even, while burning Atium? No one had ever used as much of the metal as Elend had. But he had to keep going. His Atium was running low. He turned back toward the mouth of the cavern just in time to see one of his Atium soldiers go down in a spray of blood. Elend cursed, spinning as an Atium shadow passed through him. He ducked the swing that followed, then took off the creature's arm. He beheaded the one that followed, then cut another's legs out from beneath it. For most of the battle he hadn't used fancy allomantic jumps or attacks, just straightforward swordplay. His arms were growing tired, however, and he was forced to begin pushing Koloss away from him to manage the battlefield. The reserve of Atium, of life, within him was dwindling. Atium burned so quickly. Another man screamed, another soldier dead. Elend began to back toward the cavern. There were just so many Koloss. His band of 280 had slain thousands, yet the Koloss didn't care. They kept attacking, a brutal wave of endless determination, resisted only by the pockets of Atium mistings protecting each of the entrances to the homeland. Another man died. They were running out of Atium. Elend screamed, swinging his sword about him, taking down three Koloss in a maneuver that never should have worked. He flared steel and pushed the rest away from him. "The body of a god burning within me," he thought. He gritted his teeth, attacking as more of his men fell. He scrambled up a pile of Koloss, slicing off arms, legs, heads, stabbing chests, necks, guts. He fought on, alone, his clothing long since stained from white to red. Something moved behind him, and he spun, raising his blade, letting the Atium lead him. Yet he froze, uncertain. The creature behind him was no Koloss. It stood in a black robe, one eye socket empty and bleeding, the other bearing a spike that had been crushed back into its skull. Elend could see straight into the empty eye socket, through the creature's head and out the back. Marsh. He had a cloud of Atium shadows around him. He was burning the metal, too, and would be immune to Elend's own Atium. Human led his Koloss soldiers through the tunnels. They killed any person in their path. Some had stood at the entrance. They had fought long. They had been strong. They were dead now. Something drove Human on, something stronger than anything that had controlled him before. Stronger than the little woman with the black hair, though she had been very strong. This thing was stronger. It was ruin. Human knew this. He could not resist. He could only kill. He cut down another human. Human burst into a large, open chamber filled with other little people. Controlling him, Ruin made him turn away and not kill them. Not that Ruin didn't want him to kill them. It just wanted something else, more. Human rushed forward. He crawled over tumbled rocks and stones. He shoved aside crying humans. Other Koloss followed him. For the moment, all of his own desires were forgotten. There was only his overpowering desire to get to a small room. There, in front of him. Human threw open the doors. Ruin yelled in pleasure as he entered this room. It contained the thing Ruin wanted. "Guess what I found," Marsh growled, stepping up, pushing against Ellen's sword. The weapon was ripped from his fingers, flying away. "Atium. A Chondro was carrying it, looking to sell it. Foolish creature." Elend cursed, ducking out of the way of a Koloss swing, pulling his obsidian dagger from the sheath at his leg. Marsh stalked forward. Men screamed, cursing, falling, as their Atium died out. Ellen's soldiers were being overrun. The screams tapered off as the last of his men guarding this entrance died. He doubted the others would last much longer. Ellen's ATM warned him of attacking Kolos, letting him dodge, barely, but he couldn't kill them very effectively with the dagger. And as the Kolos took his attention, Marsh struck with his obsidian axe. The blade fell and Ellen leaped away, but the dodge left him off balance. Ellen tried to recover, but his metals were running low. Not just his ATM, but his basic metals. Iron, steel, pewter. He hadn't been paying much attention to them since he had ATM, but he'd been fighting for so long now. If Marsh had ATM, then they were equal, and without basic metals, Ellen would die. An attack from the Inquisitor forced Ellen to flare pewter to get away. He cut down three Kolos with ease, his ATM still helping him, but Marsh's immunity was a serious challenge. The Inquisitor crawled over the fallen bodies of Kolos, scrambling toward Elend, his single spike head reflecting the too bright light of the sun overhead. Elend's pewter ran out.
"You cannot beat me, Elend Venture," Marsh said in a voice like gravel. "We've killed your wife. I will kill you."
Vin. Elend didn't believe it.
"Vin will come," he thought. "She'll save us."
Faith. It was a strange thing to feel at that moment. Marsh swung. Pewter and iron suddenly flared to life within Elend. He didn't have time to think about the oddity. He simply reacted, pulling on his sword, which lay stuck into the ground a distance away. It flipped through the air, and he caught it, swinging with a too-quick motion, blocking Marsh's axe. Ellen's body seemed to pulse, powerful and vast. He struck forward instinctively, forcing Marsh backward across the ashen field. Kolos backed away for the moment, shying from Ellen as if frightened. Or awed. Marsh raised a hand to push on Ellen's sword, but nothing happened. It was as if something deflected the blow. Ellen screamed, charging, beating back Marsh with the strikes of his silvery weapon. The Inquisitor looked shocked as it blocked with the obsidian axe, its motions too quick for even Elemancy to explain. Yet Ellen still forced him to retreat, across fallen corpses of blue, ash stirring beneath a red sky. A powerful peace swelled in Ellen. His Elemancy flared bright, though he knew the metals inside of him should have burned away. Only Atium remained, and its strange power did not, could not, give him the other metals. But it didn't matter. For a moment he was embraced by something greater. He looked up toward the sun. And he saw, just briefly, an enormous figure in the air just above him. A shifting, brilliant personage of pure white. Her hands held to his shoulders with her head thrown back, white hair streaming, mist flaring behind her like wings that stretched across the sky. "Vin," he thought with a smile. Ellen looked back down as Marsh screamed and leaped forward, attacking with his axe in one hand, seeming to trail something vast and black like a cloak behind him. Marsh raised his other hand across his face as if to shield his dead eyes from the image in the air above Ellen. Ellen burned the last of his ATM, flaring it to life in his stomach. He raised his sword in two hands and waited for Marsh to draw close. The Inquisitor was stronger and was a better warrior. Marsh had the powers of both Elemancy and Ferrochemy, making him another Lord Ruler. This was not a battle Ellen could win. Not with a sword. Marsh arrived, and Ellen thought he understood what it had been like for Kelsier to face the Lord Ruler on that square in Luthadel all those years ago. Marsh struck with his axe. Ellen raised his sword in return and prepared to strike. Then Ellen burned Duralumin with his ATM. "Sight, sound, strength, power, glory, speed!" Blue lines sprayed from his chest like rays of light, but those were all overshadowed by one thing. Atium plus Duralumin. In a flash of knowledge, Ellen felt a mind-numbing wealth of information. All became white around him as knowledge saturated his mind.
"I see now," he whispered as the vision faded, and along with it his remaining metals.
The battlefield returned. He stood upon it, his sword piercing Marsha's neck. It had gotten caught on the spike head jutting out of Marsha's back between the shoulder blades. Marsha's axe was buried in Ellen's chest. The phantom metals Vin had given him burned to life within Ellen again. They took the pain away. However, there was only so much that Pewter could do, no matter how high it was flared. Marsh ripped his axe free, and Ellen stumbled backward, bleeding, letting go of his sword. Marsh pulled the blade free from his neck, and the wound vanished, healed by the powers of Ferrochemy. Ellen fell, slumping into a pile of Koloss bodies. He would have been dead already, save for the Pewter. Marsh stepped up to him, smiling. His empty eye socket was wreathed in tattoos, the mark that Marsh had taken upon himself, the price he had paid to overthrow the final empire. Marsh grabbed Elland by the throat, pulling him back up.
"Your soldiers are dead, Elland Venture," the creature whispered. "Our Koloss rampage inside the Chondra Caverns. Your medals are gone. You have lost."
Ellen felt his life dripping away, the last trickle from an empty glass. He'd been here before, back in the cavern at the Well of Ascension. He should have died then, and he'd been terrified. This time, oddly, he was not. There was no regret, just satisfaction. Ellen looked up at the Inquisitor. Vin, like a glowing phantom, still hovered above them both.
"Lost," Ellen whispered. "We've won, Marsh." "Oh, and how is that?" Marsh asked, dismissive.
Humans stood at the side of the pit in the center of the cavern room, the pit where Ruin's body had been, the place of victory. Humans stood dumbfounded, a group of other Koloss stepping up to him, looking equally confused. The pit was empty.
"Atium," Ellen whispered, tasting blood. "Where is the Atium, Marsh? Where do you think we got the power to fight? You came for that Atium? Well, it's gone. Tell your master that. You think my men and I expected to kill all of these Koloss? There are tens of thousands of them. That wasn't the point at all."
Ellen's smile widened.
"Ruin's body is gone, Marsh. We burned it all away, the others and I. You might be able to kill me, but you'll never get what you came for. And that is why we win."
Marsh screamed in anger, demanding the truth, but Ellen had spoken it. The deaths of the others meant that they had run out of Atium. His men had fought until it was gone, as Ellen had commanded, burning away every last bit. The body of a god. The power of a god. Ellen had held it for a moment. More important, he'd destroyed it. Hopefully, that would keep his people safe. "It's up to you now, Vin," he thought, still feeling the peace of her touch upon his soul. "I've done what I can." He smiled at Marsh again, defiantly, as the Inquisitor raised his axe. The axe took off Ellen's head. Ruin raged and thrashed about, enraged and destructive. Vin only sat quietly, watching Ellen's headless body slump back into the pile of blue corpses.
"How do you like that?" Ruin screamed. "I killed him. I ruined everything you love. I took it from you."
Vin floated above Ellen's body, looking down. She reached out with incorporeal fingers, touching his head, remembering how it felt to use her power to fuel his allomancy. She didn't know what she had done, something akin to what Ruin did when it controlled the Koloss, perhaps. Only opposite. liberating, serene. Elend was dead. She knew that, and knew that there was nothing she could do. That brought pain, true, but not the pain she had expected. I let him go long ago, she thought, stroking his face. At the Well of Ascension. Allomancy brought him back to me for a time. She didn't feel the pain or terror that she had known before when she'd thought him dead. This time she felt only peace. These last few years had been a blessing, an extension. She'd given Elend up to be his own man, to risk himself as he wished, and perhaps to die. She would always love him, but she would not cease to function because he was gone. The opposite, perhaps. Ruin floated directly above her, throwing down insults, telling her how it would kill the others, Sazed, Breeze, Ham, Spook. So few left of the original crew, she thought. Kelsier dead so long ago. Dachshund and Clubs slaughtered at the Battle of Luthadel. Yeadon dead with his soldiers. Orsur taken at Zane's command. Marsh fallen to become an Inquisitor. And the others who joined us, now gone as well. Tyndall, Tensoon, Elend. Did Ruin think she would let their sacrifices be for nothing? She rose, gathering her power. She forced it against the power of Ruin, as she had the other times. Yet this time was different. When Ruin pushed back, she didn't retreat. She didn't preserve herself. She drove onward. The confrontation made her divine body tremble in pain. It was the pain of a cold and hot meeting, the pain of two rocks being smashed together and ground to dust. Their forms undulated and rippled in a tempest of power. And Vin drove on. Preservation could never destroy you, she thought, almost screaming it against the agony. He could only protect. That's why he needed to create humankind. All along, Ruin, that was part of his plan. He didn't give up part of himself, making himself weaker, simply so that he could create intelligent life. He knew he needed something of both preservation and of Ruin, something that could both protect and destroy, something that could destroy to protect. He gave up his power at the well, and into the mists, giving it to us so that we could take it. He always intended this to happen. You think this was your plan? It was his. His all along. Ruin cried out. Still she drove on. You created the thing that can kill you, Ruin, Vin said, and you just made one huge, final mistake. You shouldn't have killed Elend. You see, he was the only reason I had left to live. She didn't shy back, though the conflict of opposites ripped her apart. Ruin screamed in terror as the force of her power completely melded with Ruin's. Her consciousness, now formed and saturated with preservation, moved to touch that of Ruin. Neither would yield, and with a surge of power Vin bid farewell to the world, then pulled Ruin into the abyss with her. Their two minds puffed away, like mist under a hot sun.